It's time for Striking Fury with Billy and Panda, powered by Ford. Everybody stand, everybody wave your hands. We the seventh man, Ontario fans. Say it loudly, say it proudly. Ontario won, Ontario. Everybody stand, everybody clap. We the seventh man, Ontario fans. Say it loudly, say it proudly. Ontario won, Ontario.
What's going on, Fury faithful? Welcome to episode 13. That's right, 13 of Striking Fury with Billy and the Panda, the official podcast for the Inland Empire's hottest soccer team, the Ontario Fury. We're calling today's show 2-1 in the Florida Sun. Now, it's been a minute since we last connected here on Striking Fury. If you did miss us last week, though, you could check out our friends at MASL In The Box on YouTube. That is the place where we get most of our league information as well as our M2 information. We had a guest spot on their show, Panda and I, talking about this past weekend's Fun in the Sun weekend matchups. Shout out to Matt, shout out to Adam, shout out to Gio. Those guys are great. Definitely check out their YouTube channel. For those of you who don't already know, I am the self-proclaimed Beast from the East, Christian Philly Philemon. And with me here today, a woman who always gives me sunshine rather than the grays, the amazing and talented Amanda the Panda Philemon.
What's going on, Fury faithful? Today's podcast is going to be easy peasy lemon squeezy. Yeah, that's because that's the name of the wine that I'm currently drinking. And
easy
I have
peasy lemon squeezy, really?
Easy peasy lemon squeezy, see?
She is not joking.
Yeah, I was saving this bottle for me and my friend Nina because of the cool name, but it was the only one in the wine fridge that I could actually open without a cork. And I was just trying to do exactly what it says, be easy peasy lemon squeezy. So that's the level I'm on today.
Yeah. According to the bottle, the ultimate sunny day drink, easy peasy lemon squeezy, is light, crisp, and full of zingy citrus deliciousness.
Yeah.
One sip of this white wine blend will brighten your day.
Speaking of bright, we're going to talk a lot today about sunshine, folks.
That we will. That we will. Now, normally, we would have given you a podcast right after the weekend's matchups, but we needed a few days to recalibrate. Part of it is coping with the very first loss of the season for the Fury, but also we had to recover from the magical surprise birthday weekend that we had planned for Panda. Panda, why don't you tell the Fury faithful real quick what the heck happened to you this past weekend?
Yeah, so I got kidnapped on Thursday, and by kidnapped, I mean I came home from work to Nina, my friend. And no husband, nowhere to be in sight, told, get in the car, we're late. I'm like, late for what? She said dinner. So I got in the car, I'm like, okay, we're going to go to dinner somewhere. And then about an hour into the trip, she pulled out snacks. I don't mean regular snacks, I don't mean gas station snacks.
Dinner snacks.
I mean, she had cheese sticks with like marinara and cheese sauce.
It's like your lunch.
Like, we were going on a trip, so I'm thinking, oh great, where's this going? Knowing good and well, there's no way we're going to Tijuana because I don't have a passport until I mentioned it. Nina goes, are you sure about that? And at that point, I wasn't sure about anything. However, we did end up in the beautiful San Diego, and it was an amazing trip, everybody. I am so thankful for friends and family that planned this trip for me, because knowing we could not travel internationally, which is what we usually do for my birthday, I can't think of a better way that we could have celebrated my birthday. We went wine tasting in Temecula. We went and had all the cocktails offered at Cutwater Distillery. Shout out to that place. And please, everyone, visit there that's listening to this, because they're amazing. We got to lay by the pool and the hot tub on the rooftop of the Omni, have an amazing dinner on the rooftop at Mr. A's as we watched planes land, and a brunch at Rustic Root on a rooftop in the Gas Lamp. I swear, I could go on and on about how amazing it was, but you should all just check it out for yourself. Relive my birthday by going to all those places.
For sure. And one other thing that made this weekend fun was I had a bet going on with fellow, I could say rival, podcaster from Soccer's Overtime, Jerry Jimenez. I know him from the days of podcasting at LAFC. He is part of the Soccer's Overtime podcast. He does that with Craig Elston, who those of you familiar with indoor soccer definitely know that name. We had a bet going on, and that bet was if the Fury win, which they did, spoiler alert, Jerry would bestow upon me some of his favorite San Diego local beers. If the soccer's won, I would have to bestow upon him the wonderful elixir from the boys over at Rowdy's in Rancho Cucamonga. Fortunately for me, fortunately for Panda, fortunately for all of the Fury faithful, we won. More on that later. It was great to see our buddy, but also really great to kind of rub it in his face that, yeah, the Fury owns Southern California as of right now. But before we really get into this podcast, Panda, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention a really, really big loss that happened within the indoor soccer community. It hit the Milwaukee Wave because he was a part of that organization, but it definitely hit all of us in the heart. Panda, why don't you tell the listeners out there about our loss?
Unfortunately, on February 11th, the MASL suffered a huge loss in that of Brian Sales. He was the equipment manager for the Milwaukee Wave. He was the son of Larry Sales, who was the team's director of soccer operations. And it's so unfortunate that he succumbed to complications that he experienced following heart surgery, which is what he was undergoing. He was a lifelong survivor of brain cancer and had just really made such an impact on the indoor soccer family. And I know that they will continue to and are currently mourning his loss, and he will certainly be missed. So we wanted to take a moment to just have a moment of silence for Brian Sales.
Rest in peace, Brian Sales. Now, Panda, we mentioned that we bask in some sun and most definitely had some fun. We managed to catch the Fury play, though, and what a weekend it was. Before we get into that recap, few housekeeping items for all of you. After this past weekend, I want you all to know that the Fury are back on the road. They march to the Midwest to take on the St. Louis Ambush at Family Arena on Friday, March the 5th at 5:35 Pacific Standard Time. Then, Sunday, March 7th at 3:05 Pacific Standard Time, the boys head over to Cable Dahmer Arena to take on the Comets. The Comets have picked up some slack here in this past weekend. They had a mighty successful weekend stomping the Dallas Sidekicks. 10-6 in the first encounter, and then 13-4 on Sunday. They move up the standings with a 5-4 record in the 9 games they have played.
Yeah, Tacoma this past weekend upset Florida 7-6 in overtime to kick off this round robin's worth of matches, but didn't fare any better in the last 2 games they had. They lost to the Sockers 4-2, and we are going to obviously talk about the match versus the Fury on this podcast. The Stars dropped to a 2-4 record, but it's still anyone's season, and they can play with the best of the best. More on the Stars later. So, exciting news, the Fury will host matches at Toyota Arena in March. Woohoo! March 10th, they are going to be taking on the Tropics. March 12th, they will be taking on the Stars. And then on March 13th, there's that number again. We're going to...
Lucky number 13!
I know, it's becoming pretty lucky for us because we're going to be taking on the Sockers.
I got another bet going on with Jerry Amon as it's Sockers overtime. This time it's for a case rather than a six-pack.
Can't wait to see and hear how all that plays out. So
I'm sure you can't wait to drink some of those beers either.
I'm surprised we haven't yet. As of the time of this recording, no fans on the stands for these matches. But if that changes, you will happily see us on Instagram posting videos about our excitement. The Fury miss you all, and no doubt you miss the Fury.
Absolutely. Another bit of housekeeping. The Fury have partnered up with Nikki Sports to give you more fun Ontario Fury swag.
Great.
Jerseys. If you go to the Fury website and click on the shop, you will see the original link, which of course gives you access to the new gaiters and masks, as well as the discounted items that you had from last season. But if you click on the link, you will see another link to Nikki Sports. There you can find brand new Adidas Fury jerseys. You can purchase either the white or the black jersey you saw the boys wear in Florida. You could buy the neon green goalkeeper kit that you saw Clayson DeLima wear. You can buy Fury shorts. You can buy Fury socks. All made by Adidas, by the way. You can buy the Adidas Fury track jacket and the Adidas Fury backpack. You can also customize these items with your own number. I know Panda wore 32 in her day. Hopefully she doesn't leave her backpack lying around because Jeff Hughes wears 32 and he could mistake her backpack for his. I don't have that problem. I wear 24, so I'm good with no one mistaking my number for anybody else's. But I should probably just put the number of dollars I spent on all this Fury gear as the number on my backpack. And it is a big number. Again, check out the Nikki store. They also have hoodies and long sleeve shirts and a practice tee that only cost $14 from Adidas. I bought one. It shipped in no time. Such a comfortable shirt.
All right, so enough of the swag talk because I can't wait to see all of it in person because I'm pretty sure you bought all of it.
All of it.
Yes. And yeah, if if Jeff Hughes did accidentally steal my backpack, I could only imagine what he would do with my eyeliner whenever he got into it.
Or so, the easy peasy lemon squeezy or the mozzarella sticks.
That would certainly all be in the backpack.
Or the Lunchables. Panda still eats Lunchables.
Can you not?
Sorry,
call me out on that?
I mean, I want the Fury faithful to know who the heck you are.
What, a 14-year-old girl?
I mean, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're intelligent, you're kind, you're witty, and you eat Lunchables.
Listen, it's all about easy peasy lemon squeezy at
this
point.
Add some sunshine in your life with easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Without further ado, Fury faithful, let's get into it. The Ontario Fury, along with the San Diego Sockers, Tacoma Stars, and of course, the hometown Tropics, all engaged in battle this past weekend in Lakeland, Florida. That's right, we had three West Coast teams going up against one of, if not the best teams in MASL. Going into the weekend, the Fury were on top of the standings with a record of 2-0. Yes, seems silly, but with a shortened season, winning percentage is what matters, and it's going to matter significantly heading into postseason. First matchup we are going to discuss is going to be the match versus the Sockers.
The showdown of SoCal, Fury versus the Sockers. Now, while listening to the broadcast, I couldn't help but hear Brian Ackley, the Tropics play-by-play man, state the fact that the Fury's roster is better than the Sockers. I got a chuckle out of that, but when you face off with the Sockers, it's no laughing matter. Historically, San Diego has gotten the better of the Fury. Prior to this matchup, they had the edge with a 17-3 lifetime record against us. But the last match between these two clubs, on February the 17th of last year, the Fury won 7-3. The Sockers have started this season late, just like Ontario and Tacoma. Coming into the Thursday game, they had a 1-1 record, losing 5-3 to the Comets and winning 5-3 January 31st versus the Sidekicks. Brandon Escoto and former Fury forward Leonardo de Oliveira came in as the leading scorers for the Sockers. This weekend, they would unfortunately be without Brian Farber. But they still have a roster full of talent. All-stars Cesar Cerda, Guerrero Pino, newcomers Mitchell Cardenas, and Marcio Leite make up a scary back line. And let's not forget the two all-star goalkeepers in Boris Pardo and William Van Zella. And duh, how could anybody forget about Captain San Diego or Captain America himself, Craig Childs?
Yeah, I think that's a name most people are going to associate with that franchise. Now, the Fury are 2-0 coming into this matchup, and Frank Tyu was averaging a hat trick in the previous two encounters. With him, we have the likes of Charlie Gonzalez, Justin Stenson, Maicon de Abreu, George DeLeon, Nestor Hernandez, and the defensive prowess of Goncalves, Topete, and Uzi Tyu. Let's not forget the emergence of goalkeeper Clayson De Lima. He's been a bright spot and could easily be the surprise player of the year. Let's get into the matchups. Things started chippy quickly. Two fouls, one on each side. 30 seconds into the matchup, we knew we were in for a battle.
Physical brutality.
Absolutely. Cesar Cerda and Goncalves each had a quick foul to start the game off.
Yep, De Lima would be the first of the two keepers to get a shot as he saves Escoto's first attempt, 1:04 into the match. 3 seconds afterwards, Uzi Tayu would get a block on De Oliveira. Justin Stinson had the first shot on Pardo for the Fury, but he would get his shot blocked. Fury were then faced with a disadvantage when Robert Palmer gets served with a smurf, getting a blue card for unsportsmanlike conduct, 4:18 into the first quarter.
And I gotta say, I rewatched this back, and you know what? He was just sticking up for his guy. You know, you had Justin Stinson over there getting mauled on the boards, and it wasn't called, and I think he just took it out on one of the other players. So call it what you will, but either way, the Fury would fortunately kill this penalty. De Lima would get tested again consecutively on shot attempts by De Oliveira and...
Gerardo Panda. Gerardo Jurado.
I can't do it.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy, huh? Not, have another glass.
This is not easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Gerardo Jurado Panda in the 6 minute of action.
Topete would have a crack at Pardo, but that ball was saved. A mere 2 minutes after successfully killing off a penalty, the Fury would be faced with another man disadvantage when Maicon de Abreu would be served with a smurf for dangerous play. 2 minutes in the box for the young Brazilian. Honestly, again, watching this, dude just went up. Went for the ball. Elbow came down. Incidental contact. No foul in my book. Escoto and... Oh, no.
Gerardo, Panda. Gerardo.
Escoto and Gerardo would get a few more attempts, but De Lima proving once again why he was Jimmy Norberg's pick as the number one keeper for the Fury ahead of Chuy Molina.
We're going to have a fun game. How many times can you say Gerardo without
zero.
Messing
zero.
The Fury kill another power play, thankfully, and go right back on the attack. Offensively, the Fury would get a couple more shots on Pardo by Maicon and Sopete.
There was a great save by Pardo on a 2-1 break between Nestor and Pacheco. Pacheco could have had that shot, but he was trying to be selfless and give it back to Nestor. Unfortunately, that gave the keeper just enough time to come out and save it. Sopete had a clear opportunity that went straight to the goalkeeper for a save, and Frank... He missed one wide, and that ended it 0-0 first quarter.
Yep, first quarter ends with the Sockers acting as the aggressors, both with shots and fouls. Very chippy and physical first quarter, with both teams combining for 16 fouls. But the Fury had the nastier calls, nastier because their calls landed two players in the sin bin.
All right, so we're 0-0 heading into the second quarter. Kicking things off would be... Oh. God, again?
Gerardo.
Smacking one, but saved by De Lima. This would already mark his sixth save of the game, and we are barely into the second quarter, folks. Nestor would get an attempt on Pardo, but the former MASL Keeper of the Year would get the save.
Yeah, shout-outs to Boris, simply because of the fact that he's from my hometown of Queens, New York.
Frank would get his first real shot on goal, but the Boris blockade made the stop. 2:19 into the second quarter. And if I'm not mistaken, this was the shot from about 15 feet outside the box that seemed like it had a front of the line pass to Disney World because it looked like it was headed straight there. It wasn't anywhere close to the goal.
Yeah, Lakeland's halfway between Tampa and Orlando, so no doubt Disney World was within his sights.
2 minutes later, Nestor would get another attempt, and newcomer George De Leon would be blocked by Pardo.
Yeah, the chippiness would resume, and the theme of the night for us would continue and prove costly. King Frank would be sent to the bad boy box for committing four fouls in the first half, and it didn't take long either. Fury were strong on their first two penalty kills, but third time was a charm for the Sockers, as Ubi Paripovich, assisted by former Milwaukee Wave captain Marcio Leite, slams one past Clayson De Lima. A power play goal propels the Sockers to a 1-0 lead over the Fury at 12:17 into the second quarter. Could the Sockers hang their heads up high, walking into the locker room? Oh, no. That goal didn't keep the Fury on their backs for too long. In fact, it took only 43 seconds for the Fury to get furious as Justin Stinson successfully smashes one past Pardo, assisted by Maicon de Abreu. Maicon's name will be heard often on today's podcast, folks, and you will soon understand why.
So now we are tied 1-1 for the first half, and here are your first half stats. We've got shots. Sockers have 9, Fury have 10. Now, the Sockers had the edge in the first quarter, but they clawed their way up. Chippy first half affair, 26 first half fouls, and the costly one being Frank's fourth. That puts him in the box and lets 99 Ubi Paripovich get himself in the scoring column.
Yup, let's talk about the second half.
All right, so after a less than furious start, see what I did there?
clever. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
That's what I'm all about. It would only take 4.04 seconds before we saw our first shot on goal. King Tayu, held scoreless so far in this match, would still be kept that way with another save by Boris Pardo. Frank Tayu had an awesome shot on goal, actually, if you rewatched it. He had some really fancy dribbling where he teed himself up for a nice bicycle kick. And let me tell you, had it gone in, you would have heard us screaming all the way from Southern California.
Yeah, no doubt. And he has a knack for finding those types of goals. So don't be surprised when you do see him score that way. But just 2 minutes later, we managed to slam one in the back of the net at the 6:17 mark when Uzi Tayu had a shot that was somewhat picked off by the keeper. And as it ricocheted off the wall, it landed in front of George De Leon, and he screams one past Boris, making it 1-2 to the Fury. Pardon me, Pardo. George De Leon proving to be the most valuable offseason acquisition for Mesquite. Definitely valuable in our eyes. We said it before, this kid is a baller. and a very impressive young man. If you haven't already done so, please check out episode 11 of Striking Fury, where we interview George.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, shameless promos. 2-1 at this point, and the Fury would never look back on this one. Other than a shot by Justin Stinson at the 10:50 mark of the third, that would be all the offense we get right here. Guerrero Pino would be served with a smurf for obstruction, 12:51 minute of play. And that's what happened there.
Both teams playing some defense. The Sockers would not get a single shot off in this quarter. The Fury would get three, but one of those three resulted in a goal by De Leon. 13-9 shots in favor of the Fury at this moment.
Yeah, we start out the fourth quarter with a costly mistake by the Sockers. Legend and captain Craig Childs would serve a two-minute penalty for too many men on the field, 27 seconds in.
Yes, this would prove to be quite costly. He'd been somewhat quiet in the first three quarters of this game, but Charlie Gonzalez would attempt a shot on goal only to have it redirected right into the hands of or feet of the king himself, Frank Tyu, for a goal. 1:10 into the power play. Having it served to him on a platter seems only fitting for a king, wouldn't you say? And all of that from a sloppy line change by the Sockers.
3-1 Fury, and the boys are off to the races. The Sockers would come back more aggressively with shots by Pino and De Oliveira, but Clayson would deny them both. 7:43 in, we would hear Frank's name once again light up the back of the net. He punches it into the polyurethane. He puts it past Pardo, served up by Maicon de Abreu, albeit from a bit of a deflection from the Sockers defenders. He continues to climb up the all-time Fury's assist leader space. At the end of last season, if I'm not mistaken, he was only 5 assists away from jumping Izzy Cisse for the number 2 spot. I have to double-check this, but I'm pretty sure now he is only behind Charlie Gonzalez. Frank has already jumped Izzy in terms of all-time goals for the Fury. He trails only Charlie and is slightly ahead or maybe just behind my cone. I have to look, but very, very impressive. Fury are up 4-1 at this point.
All right, so 10:42, we get a shot on Boris by number 14, Andy Reyes. Welcome back, Andy. Andy was on the Fury back during the 2018-2019 season with the Fury. He played in 24 games that season, scoring 7 goals and notching 4 assists. So great to see him back on the Fury. Same can be said about Christian Alvarado. We weren't sure what happened here. I know he was off the roster early on this season, but he is back now.
Yeah, Loyola Marymount's finest. Clayson would deny former Milwaukee Wave captain Marcio Leyte and Escoto in a matter of 20 seconds of action. He would finish off the fourth quarter with 4 saves. After Escoto's shot, we wouldn't see any more attempts by the Sockers.
Ah, but we would see one more goal from the indoor legend himself, Frank Tyu. He would score in the 14:07 mark, assisted once again. We'll never get tired of saying this, by Maicon de Abreu. He gets his 3rd straight hat trick, and that is how the game would end, folks.
Yeah, Fury get their 4th ever win against the Sockers. They win 5-1, and it was a big win, a big confidence booster for the boys from the Inland Empire. It's always a good thing when you take out your arch rival. The Showdown of SoCal scored one for the Fury.
Yeah, the final stats are going to look a little like this. Shots, 18-13 for the Fury. Fouls, 22-16. Sockers were naughty. Power plays, 1-2 for the Fury, because we capitalized on one. And the Sockers, 1-3, only capitalized on one as well. So, your final score, 5-1.
And your stars of the match, Frank Tyu, 3 goals. Maicon de Abreu, 3 assists. Justin Stinson, 1 goal. And I want to also recognize Charlie Gonzalez and Uzi Tai with both getting an assist apiece. And of course, we have to recognize Clayson De Lima only allowing 1 goal by the Sockers. He finished the night off with 10 saves.
Yeah, you know, and to his credit, the 1 goal that was scored was on a power play. So really, when we had all our men on the field, we were really impenetrable.
Gerardo Jurado.
Yes.
That is your Achilles heel. Gerardo Jurado.
I don't understand why I cannot formulate those letters together.
Next podcast we do against the Sockers, we have to get that right. Gerardo Jurado. Otherwise, we're going to make it a drinking game in which you're going to lose very badly.
I feel like I'm trying to say something and I have marbles in my mouth.
Gerardo Jurado. Gerardo Jurado. Gerardo Jurado.
All right, stop showing off.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know what?
Unique New York.
Guess
the Human
what?
Torch was denied a bank loan.
All right, so we're going to just march on to Friday to take on Tacoma. Moving on. This is an interesting match, folks. Tacoma had at least 7 players formerly on the Fury roster at some point. Head coach player Nick Pereira had a really good season with us. Evan McNeely, he had a few seasons with us. DeBray Holloman, he's our assistant head coach's son, LB Holloman. Douglas Lima, he played a few seasons in Ontario. Alex Caceres, Jeff Bader. But honestly, the one that really, really hurts, I think, everyone is Chris Toth.
Yeah, Tacoma, like San Diego, has some monsters for goalkeepers. All-Star Game MVP Danny Waltman, and of course, last year's Goalkeeper of the Year, Chris Toth. They have quite the platoon back there. Tacoma came into this matchup riding the high of beating down the hometown Tropics in overtime the previous night, 7-6. That was an exciting back-and-forth matchup. Florida was dominating this one until the stars started shining.
Yeah, Ian Bennett kicked things off as he continued his scoring streak, assisted by Utica City FC newcomer Jake Schindler. That's a name we will reluctantly have to repeat later. Ian Bennett's, by the way. That's
what we're and Jake about. Schindler.
Oh, both of them?
Yeah.
Another Utica City FC player, Nate Bordeaux, would contribute to the scoring column. So Vinny Dantas would score for the Stars, cutting the lead to 2-1. But then Zach Reggett would score a power play goal to bring the Tropics lead back to 3-1.
Yeah, we would see a few more goals by each club with Ian Bennett getting another goal, pushing the Tropics lead up 5-3. He's still the league leader in goals scored, but watch out because the King is coming after you. Also, shout out to Dallas sidekicks Felipe de Souza. He's having a hell of a year as well with 13 goals. Fourth quarter would prove to be a nightmare for the Tropics as Tacoma would usher in 3 more goals to tie the match. Former Baltimore player Vinny Dantas would blast one in. See what I did there, Panda? Baltimore blast. Tie goal. We head into overtime, and if you weren't ready or sitting down, you missed it. Michael Ramos from newly acquired Elton De Oliveira from the Harrisburg Heat gets the game winner. And the Tropics get sunburnt at home 7-6. Big time game, big statement victory. Would be their only win this weekend, though. Let's get into the matchup with the Stars.
Yeah, the question coming into this matchup, other than could the Fury start off 4-0 for the first time in franchise history, would be, would we face off against our old friend Chris Toth? Danny Waltman started this match, so we wouldn't see Chris Toth to begin this match. Nick Pereira made the right choice in starting Danny Waltman. It only took 2 minutes and 34 seconds for the Fury to strike first. We have a goal by former Casey Comet Robert Palmer, smashing one in the upper right-hand corner of the goal. It is 1-0 Fury already, and the Fury would never relinquish their lead. In fact, this quarter, they absolutely dominated the Stars. After the Palmer goal, De Lima would be tested by Philip Lund and Nick Pereira. Alex Caceres would be served the first smurf of the match, 5:16 in, when he gets called for holding.
Yeah, Justin Stinson takes a shot on goal, but Danny Waltman gets a hand on it. But Frank manages to punch in his 10th goal of the season. That puts the Fury up 2-0 halfway into the first quarter. Thursday night's hero, Vinny Dantas, sneaks in a shot, but Claesson there to deny his fellow Brazilian. A minute after that, in the 10:48 mark, the Fury kept getting furious. Justin Stinson gets one past Danny Waltman, assisted by Pacheco. Pacheco placed it right in Stinson's path with a beautiful header. And just like that, 3-0 Fury. But it wouldn't stop there. A minute or 30 or so later, Frank gets another goal, served up by his assist man, Maicon de Abreu. Uzi Tayu getting the hockey assist. Maicon and Frank turning out to be a beautiful pairing when it comes to goal scoring. 4-0. Tacoma getting taken down, but 20 seconds to go in the quarter. Tacoma would chip away at the lead when their head coach, all-star, and indoor soccer legend himself, former member of the Fury, might I add, Nick Pereira scores, assisted by Alessandro Canale. He breaks Uzi Tayu's ankles and nutmegs De Lima on this play. Go back and watch the highlights if you haven't seen it already. Nick Pereira with some beautiful footwork and some beautiful tomfoolery to shake and bake and juke Uzi Tayu. 4-1, that's how this quarter ends. Definitely not a boring quarter if you love the indoor game or the Fury, but a frustrating quarter if you're a fan of the Tacoma Stars.
Yeah, Fury only had 3 more shots than the Stars did, 7-4. But when you convert on 4 of the 7, who cares? I mean, that's pretty good when you come to percentage there.
That's so damn good.
Yeah. Second quarter begins. Maicon trying his luck on Danny Waltman 23 seconds in. Maicon mostly getting assists this season would certainly have some luck finding the back of the net. More on that later. But Thiago Goncalves would get credited for the first block of the game when he smacks down Alessandro Canales' attempt a minute 25 in. And seconds later, Charlie Gonzalez would make an attempt, but Danny Waltman gets a save. A minute 47, serve that Smurf time. Adriano Dos Santos getting dos minutos in the sin bin for dangerous play. The Fury are now on the power play. So Tacoma does a great job killing this penalty with Charlie Gonzalez getting the only shot on Danny Waltman.
Yeah, 4 minutes and 50 seconds in, Andy Reyes getting a shot in, but saved by Danny Waltman. 5 minutes 30 in, Abdul Mansoure gets the foul. I mention his name and the stat because I wanted to take the time to tell you all who this young man is real quick. In case you don't already know, Abdul Mansoure, not to be confused with the 59-year-old former Olympic sprinter from Sierra Leone, comes to the Fury from Wilmington University by way of London, England. He was a standout at Wilmington, a Division II school. 2017, his junior season, he had a team-high 23 points, and he tied for the most goals with 10. He redshirted in 2018. 2019, he came back and was recognized in a variety of ways. Third team United Soccer Coaches All East Region. Second team D2 CCW All East Region. First team All CACC. CACC Player of the Week 10-14. He adds good size to the Fury, 6 feet, 170 pounds. He's also a huge fan of Chelsea and SpongeBob.
Sounds like we need to get this guy on the pod soon and get more about his story because he's got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, no doubt. 6 minutes and 21 seconds. We mentioned his name before. Andy Reyes gets his first goal of the 2021 campaign, assisted by Frank Tayu. Frank took former teammate Evan McNeely and put him in his back pocket and found a seam to get the ball right to Andy Reyes, the King showing that not only can he score goals, but he can also dish out them assists. 5-1 Fury at this point.
Yeah, the Stars would start to get more aggressive after Andy's goal. Charlie Gonzalez did get a shot on Waltman 7:06 in, but the Stars would start to shine a little in the second half of the second quarter. 8:53 in, Michael Ramos, former Toronto FC super draft pick, he would not sign there, but he did join the Puerto Rican national team in 2016. He would get a shot in, but it was saved by Clayson. Moments later, Danish-born Philip Lund would get a shot. Saved by Clayson. You see the theme there. Lund was a Sounders Academy prospect and played professionally in the Faroe Islands, Norway, and Oklahoma City. Oh, and he was also in the MASL All-Star Game, if you listened to that. Corey Keats would get the next shot on Clayson 4 minutes later at the 12:01 mark.
This will no doubt be a MASL trivia question down the road. Who scored the first ever MASL All-Star Game goal? You will know, thanks to Philly and the Panda, that it was Corey Keats. He also did his goal celebration the same way Joseph the Jet Kyrell used to do his. He was a member of the Tacoma Stars before the Ontario Fury, in case you didn't know. 3 seconds later, Topete would be served to Smurf. 2 minutes for boarding. Power play opportunity for the Stars.
Teammate Uzi Tayu would get a blue card just less than 2 minutes later for the same infraction of boarding.
Yeah.
And for those of you new to the game, boarding is defined as propelling an opponent into the perimeter wall, whether or not intentionally.
I don't see any problem with that.
I don't know. Propelling opponent and...
Gerardo, we already know you're having troubles with alliterations today.
they're not working for me today. Usually they do, not today. Abdul Mansoure also getting a card, this time seeing yellow... 5-minute yellow card for a major penal penalty. All these infractions proved to be costly for the Fury. 5 seconds later, the Stars get their second of the game. When Michael Ramos scores past De Lima on assist by Jamail Cox, Ramos' shot was deflected off the hands of Clayson, making that goal happen. Ramos' shot didn't have the angle, but bouncing off De Lima's glove helped to make that goal happen. Vinny Dantas would get the final shot off of the half, but saved by De Lima, and that's how the first half goes. 5-2 Fury. The Stars, they woke up this half. They had 7 shots, same as the Fury. Could Nick Pereira rally his troops at halftime? You're going to have to stay tuned to find out.
We start the third quarter. So, power plays. If there's anything we could say about the Fury is that the power play kills could improve a little bit. We came into the third quarter with a bleed-over power play from the actions of the second quarter. 55 seconds in, 2 former Fury players link up to chip away at the lead. Alex Caceres finds Nick Pereira, and now it is 5-3. Beautiful shot hits the upper left-hand corner of the goal. Caught De Lima on that one. Hell of a shot by the former NCAA champion. Uh-oh. Do we have a ball game now? Two goals isn't exactly a cushy lead. But bearing that in mind, a minute six or so later, Charlie Gonzalez, the midfield playmaker extraordinaire, finds teammate Robert Palmer, and he puts it into the polyurethane for his second goal of the match. 6-3, Ontario, what?
Ontario Fury.
You're damn right.
So these two goals would be the only ones of the third quarter. We would see quite a few fouls by the Fury, a few shots as well by Charlie Gonzalez, and a blue card on Nestor Hernandez for a reckless tackle at the 11:27 mark. Caceres would get the last shot off of the third quarter, and that's how the third quarter ends, folks. Both teams scored a goal, and both teams had four shots during this quarter of play. 6-3, Fury heading into the fourth. Woohoo! So, we start off in a very dangerous position, and by that, we are back on the penalty kill when Andy Reyes gets smurfed for holding. Blue card penalty. Stars have a 2-minute power play. Seems to be a theme of ours. Fury managed to kill this one, thankfully, but shortly after that, whistle blows, and we get another blue card on Jesus Pacheco for unsportsmanlike conduct. Nick Pereira does manage to get a shot on De Lima, but fortunately, he gets denied.
Despite being a man down, though, 5 minutes and 40 seconds in, the Fury get a shorthanded goal by Mr. Superman himself, Nestor Hernandez. He gets assisted by Robert Palmer. Palmer having his best points contribution game of the season. Hell of a pass by Robert Palmer and a hell of a goal by Nestor Hernandez. 7-3 Fury at the moment. It didn't break the Stars' will to fight at this point, though. 42 seconds later, Michael Ramos gets one past De Lima, assisted by Vinny Dantas. 7-4 Ontario Fury at this point.
Yeah, but 25 ticks come off the clock, and now we are looking at another Fury goal. Rather than assisting on goals, Maicon decided to score them. Not that he hasn't tried in the past, of course he has, but he gets a goal in the 6:47 mark of the match, assisted by Charlie Gonzalez off the restart. We are now 8-4 Fury.
Yeah, Fury are firing away furiously at the Stars' goal. At this point, all the Stars can do is pull Danny Waltman out and get in that sixth attacker and hope that this strategy chips away at the Fury lead. 2 minutes and 10 seconds after his goal, Maicon serves up a 2-minute blue card penalty. The infraction is too many men on the field.
Speaking of too many men, the Stars now have a power play again. No action for the next 2 minutes until Jamil Cox of the Stars gets served the blue for tripping. Penalty gets killed off, and other than pulling and returning Danny Waltman, that's all we get to see for the next 3 minutes. 13:56 comes along and we get another Fury goal and another one by Maicon de Abreu. The young Brazilian doing amazing things puts the Fury's goal count to 9. And the assist goes to Justin Stenson. It is now 9-4, Fury.
This wouldn't be the last of the match, though. Douglas Lima would get the assist to Alessandro Canale. In reality, he had a shot blocked, and Canale was right there to smack it in with 16 ticks left before the final whistle. 9-5. That's how it ends. Had it not been for the offensive explosion by the Fury in the first quarter of this game, it possibly could have been a lot closer. But you can't change that.
You know, I kind of wish it would have ended 9-4. That would have, like, rolled with our, 13 theme, 9+4. But, hey, credit to Tacoma for not calling it quits. They kept playing as hard as they could, and that's a testament to their coach, Nick Pereira, and company. They have a lot of talent on this team. They really can play with anybody. They just couldn't play with the Ontario Fury on Friday night. Here are the final stats. The shots, 22-18 for Fury. Block shots, 2-0 Fury. Power plays, 2-6 Stars versus 0-3 on the Fury. Penalty minutes, 15-6 Fury, and fouls, 19-11 Fury.
Stars of the match, Maicon de Abreu, 2 goals, 1 assist. Frank Tayu, 2 goals, 2 assists. Robert Palmer, 2 goals, 1 assists. Shoutouts, Justin Stinson, 1 goal, 2 assists. Charlie Gonzalez, 2 assists. Pacheco, 1 assist. I'd say the most beautiful one, that header. Nestor, 1 shorthanded goal. Andy Reyes, 1 goal. Block shots by Palmer and Thiago Goncalves at 1 apiece. And shout out to Clayson De Lima, 11 saves tonight.
You know, if it's any testament to our team, we are so deep when it comes to what we have on the bench, because I mean, there's so many people getting a hand in goals or assists that that's what makes our team so dangerous. All right. So having said that, Fury are 2-0 and get a much needed rest off on Saturday, my birthday. I think they did that on purpose. They took February 20th off because they knew.
Celebrate a panda.
Yeah. They knew I was going to be celebrating my birthday. And out of respect, they were like, you know what? We can't play so that she can just go to wine country, celebrate, do her thing. And then we'll resume on Sunday, which is exactly what they did. We are going to take a short break, though, and we'll be right back and give you a recap of the third match. Welcome back, Fury faithful. We are back to recap the third match of the Sunshine State Showdown, and what a match it was. We've already talked about the Fury, and we have mentioned Florida plenty of times throughout the history of this podcast.
Until the Fury began their season, the Tropics were the team on top of the standings. Other than that unexpected loss to St. Louis Ambush, Tropics were riding high. That was until this weekend. We already touched upon their overtime loss to Tacoma to open up this little round robin's worth of matches in Lakeland. But how did they fare out in their second match? Not any better than the first. Why, do you ask? They lost another heartbreaker in overtime to the San Diego Sockers. Yoshi Sandoval, Ricardo Carvalho, and Anthony Rico all got goals in the second quarter of that game to give Florida the lead going into the half. But that was all the scoring they were going to get. Cesar Cerda ties it up in the third, and then Leonardo de Oliveira scored his second goal of the game in overtime to help put San Diego up on Florida. Two matches in a row, two overtime losses, and no doubt Clay Roberts and company would come in with a chip on their shoulder. As close as these matches have been, we have to acknowledge the fact that they had been without last year's Defensive Player of the Year in Drew Ruggles. Guillermo dos Santos got hurt, as did Lucas Teixeira, but they're still loaded with talent. The problem with their roster is the fact that there's so many newcomers to this team, it's hard to build chemistry. And the newcomers keep on coming. They bring in Jake Schindler from Utica City FC. He's gotten his names on the stats already. 4 days later, they pick up Nate Bordeaux. He joins his upstate New York buddy down in Florida.
Lots of talent on this Florida team, I would have to say. But with all the teams in the Northeast calling it a day on the season, guess I can't blame them for heading to a warm state where there are no state income taxes. The Fury have never squared off against the Tropics. This is going to be a very exciting match from the get-go, and for at least three quarters, it certainly did not disappoint. Didn't disappoint at all if you're a Tropics fan. So I guess that's your spoiler alert.
Yeah, let's get into this matchup. Hugo Silva versus Clayson De Lima. Ian Bennett versus Frank Tayu. Oh boy, away we go.
All right, the opening minutes of this match had some crazy action. Minute 24 into the match, the Tropics get tropical and land their first punch. Ricardo Carvalho draws first blood on his goal, assisted by Zach Reggett. Reggett worked hard for that one, and he sneaks it past the defenders and De Lima. That didn't take long at all, but it also didn't take much longer for the Fury to counter either.
2:32 later, Mike Cohn gets an unassisted goal at the 3:57 mark in the match. The game very quickly is tied 1-1. It would appear that he might have been fouled on that. I know Charlie Gonzalez was arguing for it, but Mike Cohn kept his composure and smashed one to the far left of Hugo Silva. I love how he took the fall, got back up on his toes, took care of business. Great effort. Great goal by Mike Cohn. Two Tropics fouls in a minute and 22 seconds later, the King wields his deadly scepter and scores to make it 2-1. George De Leon got the shot on Silva, but Frank is there to scoop it up and punches the back of the polyurethane.
And we aren't even halfway through the first, and we already have seen a lead change and three goals.
Grab onto your seats. It's about to get furiously tropical.
A minute 30 after Frank's goal, Charlie gets a crack on net, but it's saved by Hugo Silva, something we heard way too much this Sunday afternoon. 11:43 into the first, and the Tropics punch in their way to a tie with a goal off the restart by Ricardo Carvalho, assisted by Victor Pereiras. It is now 2-2.
Vic Moraligwe from the Mesquite Outlaws gets the final shot of the quarter. We are deadlocked at 2-2 in goals, deadlocked at 3-3 with shots. This wouldn't be the only quarter where we end at a draw.
Yeah, the start of the second quarter, we see a few fouls from the Fury and a shot by Uzi Tayu. What we happily bear witness to at 4:22 into the match is a goal by favorite son of Anaheim and former Loyola Marymount Lion, Christian Alvarado, getting his first goal of the season. Frank doing some dirty work on the boards. He finds Justin Stinson, who finds Christian, and that puts the Fury up 3-2 at this point. You know, we mentioned Christian earlier on this podcast. We didn't know what his status was going to be this season, and we missed him for a few games, but so happy to see him back in a Fury uniform. No doubt one of the leaders and veterans on this club. I'm sure that goal felt so good for him, and it sure felt good for those of us watching it at home.
7 minutes, 30 seconds in, Hugo Silva gets quickly peppered with shots by Nestor Hernandez and Topete. When you hear the shot differential and hear how many saves Silva made, you're going to bang your head on the kitchen table. 8 minutes and 52 in, the kid from Garden City, Nassau County, Long Island, for those of you unaware, and Siena College Saint, Joey Tavanisi, ties the game up at 3 apiece. He was assisted by the kid from Cleveland, Antonio Manfoot, who had a hell of a game in his own right. He chips one past De Lima.
Ugh, we are at 3-3, folks.
Yep, Charlie would have an attempt on Hugo Silva, but Hugo Silva makes the save, something I grow more and more aggravated saying.
Yeah, the Tropics call a timeout seconds after the Silva save, and that would prove to be very beneficial to their cause. Not even 10 seconds after the timeout, Rafa Alves gets Florida its second lead of the game, and now we are at 4-3. The Tropics come out a little more physical and get hit with a few fouls by Chad Vandergriff, Ricardo Carvalho.
11:53, Justin Stinson scores the banger, assisted by Charlie Gonzalez. That shot had a whole lot of mustard on it. In fact, we'll just call it Dijon. That goal definitely belongs in the weekend's highlight reel. Magnificent goal, Mr. Stinson. And at this point, we're at 4-4. Yeesh.
Woo, you get a goal. You get a goal. What a half of action. What a half of indoor soccer. And what a half period. So much excitement and nail biting in this matchup. Clay Roberts and Jimmy Norberg both go to the locker room thinking, how can I outmaneuver the other? I can't even imagine what they're saying to their teams. But despite the game being tied at the half, I will say the Fury had the advantage in that second quarter, out shooting the Tropics 8-2 in the quarter and 11-5 in the half. Florida just had a better ratio of capitalizing on their attempts. Let's just get into the second half and start the third quarter.
Zach Reggett gets the first shot attempt, but he gets stuffed by De Lima. In a span of 48 seconds into the second minute, we see three Fury fouls on three separate players. Palmer, De Leon, and Uzi. But 2 seconds after Uzi's foul, the blasted Tropics get tropical again. Cleveland's Antonio Manfoot, and I don't mean like Cleveland Crunch, I just mean he's from Cleveland. He scores a goal assisted by Victor Pereiras. Off the restart, he hits the upper left-hand corner. Tropics take back the lead 5-4. Frustrating that this is how we open up the third quarter.
Yeah, the Fury would get several attempts after this, with Charlie Gonzalez being the aggressor, making 3 attempts at Silva in the span of 5 minutes. Charlie did have a fair amount of shots, but the Fury had a fair amount of fouls as well. Nearly 10 minutes in and we are at 8 fouls. Can't say we were playing soft. Being aggressive does have the potential to get you fouls. Thankfully, none of these fouls were minutes in the bad boy box.
12:57 in, we get a Fury timeout to regroup. This played out well, because in the final minute of play, we get a goal by Mike Cone, assisted by Charlie Gonzalez, who up to this point was working his tail off to score. He puts Steven Deroux is in his pocket. We are now tied at 5 apiece, closing out another quarter in the process. Would fourth time be a charm? Would we see overtime? Would we see a third straight Tropics loss as a result of a golden goal overtime?
No.
Yeah, no.
No, Fury faithful. That would not happen. As exciting as the first three quarters of action were, the Tropics picked it up a bit and took over in the scoring column. Not so much on the shot sheet. Much like the end of the second, the Tropics would only have two shots, scoring on one. Fourth quarter starts off rough for the Fury. Having been held scoreless in their last match and most of this one, Ian Bennett punches one past De Lima. 57 seconds into the game, Anthony Arrico gets the assist on this. He had a nice cross to Ian Bennett. It's now 6-5 Tropics. They regain the lead, and sadly for us, one they would not relinquish. 2:37 in, Antonio Manfoot takes a shot, but he gets denied by De Lima. 4:08, Frank Tayu gets a big block on an attempt by Rafa Alves.
And less than a minute later, gain from Utica City FC, Jake Schindler gets a goal at 5:03, assisted by one Victor Pereiras. Tropics go up 7-5 at this point. Not looking really good, Fury folks. 5:03 and 5:04 on the stat sheet, respectively. We have a 5-minute yellow card for dissent on Zach Reggett and one on Johnny Topete for the same thing. Watching the match, I heard Ackley only mention Topete getting the 5-minute yellow, but the box score didn't say that, and if you watch the replay, you can clearly see that Reggett was issued a yellow, as was Topete. Look, Reggett got wrapped up in the moment. I'm sure he said something to Topete. Topete just said something back to him. It is what it is. 5-minute yellows for the both of them.
Yeah, 53 seconds after Schindler's goal, Antonio Manfoot gets the 8th goal of the match for the Tropics. Once again, Anthony Arrico gets an assist, but let's talk about how that happened. Thiago Goncalves had the ball in the attacking third of the field, and suddenly he falls to the floor from an apparent hit to the face. This led to the drive by the Tropics. Something was awfully fishy about that play. Thiago is a tough dude. There's no way he would have just gone to the ground like that if it wasn't something dangerous. I don't understand watching it. I need to know more about what happened.
Definitely fishy right there. Had the whistle been blown, that play wouldn't have happened. And with the way the Fury played, and of course considering the goal scored, we really would have gone into overtime. This is where the game fell out of our hands. This very play right here was a massive game changer. You never want to leave any matches in the hands of the officials, but this is how and where we managed to lose it.
Yeah, 8-5 Tropics, and the wheels are coming off of the Fury's undefeated trip to Florida. This match was a back-and-forth affair for three quarters, but it only took 6:36 seconds into the fourth for the Tropics to blow the doors off of the match. We should see the Fury fight back, though. They certainly didn't give up at this point. Charlie Gonzalez had a few shots that were saved by Silva. Justin Simpson was blocked by Chad Vandergriff.
With 4 minutes left to go in the match, head coach Jimmy Nordberg made the decision to pull Clayson De Lima. It only took 2 seconds after that for Mike Cohn to score his third goal and his first hat trick of the season. Charlie Gonzalez gets the credit on the assist right after the set piece restart. 8-6 Tropics. I am a glass half full kind of guy. I always have been. I always will be. It takes the same amount of energy to be pessimistic, and I find being pessimistic to be pointless, period.
At this point, we have 4 minutes. We have the potential to score. The Fury are a well-conditioned, well-coached pressing machine. What we see next is a flurry of shots. No pun intended. Yes, I know it's flurry, but I'm changing the terminology because I want to. Thiago takes a shot, saved by Silva.
Stinson takes a shot, saved by Silva.
Maicon going for his fourth of the game, saved by Silva.
Charlie Gonzalez takes a shot, saved by Silva.
Topete takes a shot. Saved by Silva.
You're starting to see a trend here, folks. Silva was a man possessed.
We would see a second goal on the day by Christian Alvarado off a deflection own goal, putting the Fury at 7 goals and only down by one, but with 8 seconds left to spare, the Fury just ran out of time. Nestor tried to find Frank in the left corner, but he slipped and the ball was cleared. Another minute or so of action could have potentially seen a tie, but we aren't in this could have, should have, would have kind of business.
And just like that, the Tropics win 8-7 in their first encounter with the Fury. Again, it goes back on that play where Thiago Goncalves fell to the ground. I'm telling you, we were going in overtime had that not happened. Shots on goal was a category dominated by Ontario. We had 26. They had 11. Each team had 20 fouls apiece.
Despite the scoreline, those first 6 minutes or so of action for the Tropics to start the fourth quarter proved to be too costly for the Fury.
Yeah. I guess all in all, to sum this weekend up, 2-1 was a good outing. Based on winning percentage, and yes, it may be unfair, but that's how we have to tackle this season. The Fury are still in first place with a record of 4-1. Last season, they started out 2-7. Then they went 10-2 the rest of the way.
4-1 now, and there are plenty of moments and plenty to be excited about, Fury faithful.
Yeah, this team is for real. Keeping the core of this roster intact has been a brilliant move. Adding George De Leon and Robert Palmer has also proved to be a blessing. Clayson DeLima is proving time and time again that he is a keeper to be recognized and arguably the Fury's most improved player. Not only do opponents have to fear Frank Tyu and Justin Stinson, but they also have to fear the scoring prowess of Maikon De'Abreu. Maikon had 5 goals and 2 assists this weekend. They have to fear the heart and hustle and never say die attitude of Nestor Hernandez. They have to fear the playmaking ability and hustle of Charlie Gonzalez. They have to fear getting beaten up by Uzi Tayu and Thiago Goncalves and, of course, Johnny Topete.
Yeah, they have to fear Robert Palmer and George De Leon. They cannot sleep on Christian Alvarado or Andy Reyes or Jesus Pacheco.
Look, I'm excited about this team. I'm excited about the direction of this club. I'm excited about a lot of things in the Inland Empire. Just you wait, Fury faithful. The best is yet to come. There are plenty of positives, plenty of things to be excited about. Keep that faith.
Yeah, this is a club to be reckoned with.
Yeah, 100%. If you don't think the Fury are a talented team, you are out of your mind. The best condition, the best pressing. They score a ton of goals. They have a ton of tremendous athletes. This is a team that is going to fight and contend for whatever they want to call this year's MASL trophy. I'm sticking to the Newman Cup until proven otherwise. This is the team I am putting my money on, not only because I am a homer, but because I've After what I've seen, this is the team to beat. Yeah, I get it that they lost to Florida, but it really could have gone either way. It was a great, great matchup. And really, at this point, Fury faithful, that's all the time we have for you today on Striking Fury with Philly and the Panda. We will be back with you to recap the Fury's march to the Midwest, where they take on the Ambush and the Comets at the beginning of next month. We'll try to shoot for another of you potentially prior to that. We shall see who we can schedule.
Yeah, we cannot wait to give you more Fury action, more interviews, more recaps. We just can't wait to give you more Fury fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And to end things off, as we normally do,
strike hard.
Rise with Fury.
No mercy.
You were just listening to Striking Fury with Philly and Panda, the official podcast for your Ontario Furies.
And powered by Ford.
Subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and follow us on Instagram at Striking Fury. Ontario Fury.